Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Please be seated. My dearly beloved in Christ, we begin today the study of the Catechism proper with the first lesson of the Baltimore Catechism entitled The Purpose of Man's Existence. And indeed, this is a very appropriate topic with which to begin the Catechism, a study of our existence and the purpose of our existence. In other words, why are we here? Undoubtedly, if you asked many people today, especially many young people, why do you exist? Why are you here in this world? What is life all about anyway? They would not be able to give you an answer. They really don't know the purpose of their existence. And so this is a very elementary knowledge, a very elementary piece of information that we must understand thoroughly and appreciate. The Catechism begins with the question, who made us? And the answer, God made us. And who is God? God is the supreme being, infinitely perfect, who made all things and keeps them in existence. God is the supreme being, supreme meaning that he is the highest. There is nothing or no one, and there can be nothing or no one higher than Almighty God. He is infinitely perfect. Any desirable perfection, any desirable good quality, Almighty God has to its capacity. He has infinitely. And he made all things, and finally keeps them in existence. Almighty God not only created all things outside of himself, but he also maintains them in their existence. We know that God made all things because everything outside of God is finite. It is a limited being. It has its nature from God. It has its creation, rather, from God. And it does not of itself demand existence. In other words, it is not an independent being, but rather a dependent being. For example, if any of us in this church were to die today, the world would continue to exist. The earth would continue to turn on its axis and to revolve around the sun. Life would go on. We are not necessary. God alone is the necessary being. He is also independent. We depend on food. We depend on God himself for our continued existence, our continued share in existence. But God alone is independent. He does not depend on anyone else, and he is a necessary being. He must exist and continue to exist. If you were to take a stone, a rock, and hold it over the edge of a cliff in your hand, just hold it there, that rock is being sustained, you might say, above. And down below yawns the abyss, way down the cliff. As soon as you pull back your hand, the rock hurtles headlong to the bottom of the abyss, below the cliff. Whether there's a river down there or just simply a deep pit below the cliff, the rock would fall to the very bottom. Its own weight inclines it downward. You, or rather your hand, is sustaining it upward as long as you maintain your hand there below the rock. And so we also are continually inclined towards the abyss of nothingness. We are continually drawn to fall back into the nothingness from which God created us. And unless he sustains us by his power, we inevitably fall back into that nothingness. All creatures outside of God are, or rather all things outside of God are called creatures, that is, created things, because they have been created by his almighty power. It doesn't matter if we are referring to human beings, we are God's creatures. Animals and plants and trees and even inanimate objects are also creatures. They are created things. We know that God keeps all things in existence because whatever is finite does not possess in itself the reason for its continued existence, and hence it must continually receive its existence from the infinite being, God. And now an important question, why did God make us? If indeed God created us, we believe that, we know that. We know that there is a God, we know that He created us, and all of this beautiful creation, this beautiful world around us, naturally the question comes to our mind, why? Why did He do it? Why did He create me? God made us, the Catechism says, to show forth His goodness and to share with us His everlasting happiness in heaven. We know that God always was. He never had a beginning. He has existed forever, from eternity, and He always will exist. And He always has been, and He always will be perfectly happy. God cannot be sad. His happiness cannot be incomplete. So God did not create us to somehow have a more complete happiness, a more complete bliss. Rather, God created us simply because of His goodness, to show forth His goodness and to share with us His own happiness. This then is the purpose of our existence, to reach the happiness that God Himself enjoys in heaven, at least that share of it to which we are destined. If God created us to show forth His goodness and to share with us His everlasting happiness in heaven, then why did He create other things? Why did God create beings that do not have an immortal soul? We know that angels and men have immortal souls. They are destined to share God's happiness in heaven. What about inanimate objects or animate objects, but objects which do not have, things which do not have an immortal soul, such as cats and dogs, animals, trees and living things, as well as, again, inanimate objects. Why did He create them? God made the other creatures of earth to manifest His glory and to help man to attain happiness both in this life and in the life to come. God made the beautiful creation that seeing it, we might think of Him and love Him and want to serve Him. Almighty God created material things that man also might use them. We have to live in this world, and to live we must eat, we must have clothing and shelter, and so we draw from the natural resources that surround us. We use created things, material things given us by God, for our needs. God created even the beautiful stars in the sky, as remote as they are, that we might think of Him. In all of creation, we should be able to see, as in a mirror, a reflection of the Creator Himself. Just like a painting portrays to us the talent and the mind of the artist who made that painting. Does God wish all men to share His happiness in heaven? Yes. God desires all men to share His happiness in heaven. God wants every human being that He creates to go to heaven. Not all human beings end up going to heaven. As a matter of fact, if we are to believe the saints, and even what is indicated by the words of our divine Lord Himself, most people do not go to heaven. Most human beings created by Almighty God end up losing their souls, not because God wants them to go to hell, but because they themselves abuse their free will. They choose to go contrary to God's holy will. But keep this point in mind. It is the will of God. God desires that all men go to heaven. Why are some men condemned to hell instead of being admitted to the happiness of heaven? Some are condemned to hell instead of being admitted to the happiness of heaven because they sin grievously and do not repent before their death. In other words, they commit mortal sin and are not sorry for it, and are not forgiven for their sins. In what does the happiness of heaven chiefly consist? The happiness of heaven chiefly consists in beholding God face to face in His grandeur and beauty. And we call that the beatific vision. This is something we could not possibly explain in words. The joy, the happiness, the bliss that is enjoyed by those who are in heaven. Now, what must we do to gain the happiness of heaven? All right? This is our destiny. This is the answer to the title of this catechism lesson, The Purpose of Man's Existence. What is the purpose of man's existence? To get to heaven.
God made us, He put us in this world that we might get to heaven. Now, the next question, what must we do to gain the happiness of heaven? A very important question in the Catechism. To gain the happiness of heaven, we must know, love, and serve God in this world. How do you get to a destination? You look at a map, you find which roads you have to take, and you follow the map so that you arrive at your destination.
How do you get to heaven? If that is our destination in life, how do we get there? We gain the happiness of heaven by knowing, loving, and serving God in this world. How do we, or from whom do we learn to know, love, and serve God? We learn to know, love, and serve God from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus Christ teaches us how to know, love, and serve God through the Catholic Church, which He founded. The Catholic Church is the only church which has all of the truths that are necessary to lead us to heaven. Where do we find the chief truths taught by Jesus Christ through the Catholic Church? We find the chief truths taught by Jesus Christ through the Catholic Church in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed contains a listing of the most important truths of our Catholic faith. The most important truths that we need to know and understand and believe in order that we might get to heaven. Now, what is a creed? A creed is a list of some of the more important truths which Catholics are obliged to believe, drawn up and proclaimed by the Church. Now there are several creeds that are available, and the most important, the one that we pray at the beginning of the Rosary, is called the Apostles' Creed. We will be studying the various truths contained in the Apostles' Creed in detail during the next 14 or so lessons of the Catechism, the first portion of the Baltimore Catechism, which contains the truths of our faith. Why do we call this particular creed the Apostles' Creed? It is called the Apostles' Creed because it contains the main teachings of the Apostles, and it was composed at least as regards most of its articles during the lifetime of the Apostles or shortly afterwards. During Mass, after the Gospel or after the Sermon, the priest recites another creed, which is called the Nicene Creed. It is called the Nicene Creed because it was composed in greater part by the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. Furthermore, we shall find other truths taught by the Catholic Church in the teachings of the popes, in their encyclicals, in the documents of the councils, the writings of the saints and fathers and doctors of the Church. Other truths which are perhaps implicitly contained in the Apostles' Creed, and during the next several lessons, the next 14 lessons or so, we will be explaining in detail the various articles of the Apostles' Creed, which will bring out other truths of our faith. And finally, which are some important Catholic doctrines not contained in the Apostles' Creed? An example of some important doctrines which are not contained in the Creed are the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the infallibility of the Pope. Now, this last question then concludes lesson number one, the purpose of man's existence. Let us always remember why God created us. What are we here for? We all need goals in life. Once we have a goal, we have something to strive for. Like St. Paul says, we can't be like one beating the air. In other words, someone who doesn't know what he's up to, where he's going, what his purpose is. And we can use the example, if you were to purchase something, let's say you buy a clock. You go to the store and you buy a clock and you put it on the shelf. If it's electric, you plug it into the wall, into the socket, and the clock doesn't work. You take it in to get fixed, you bring it back, it works for a while, and it stops running again. And the clock doesn't keep time, and everything you do doesn't matter, the clock doesn't work. You finally find someone who can fix it, and he says, well, you'll have to pay so much money. And you find out it would be cheaper to buy another clock. So what do? You throw away the clock that you purchased, which doesn't keep time, it doesn't work, because it is not serving the purpose for which you bought it. It might look nice sitting there on a shelf on the wall, might add a little bit to the room, but that's not its primary purpose. You primarily purchased that clock so that it would keep time. It would tell you what time of the day it is. It doesn't fulfill its purpose, so you get rid of it. So applying the same principle to our faith and to this first lesson of the Catechism, God made us for a purpose, to share with us His own everlasting happiness of heaven. How do we get there? How do we attain the happiness of heaven? By knowing, loving, and serving God in this world. Our purpose, our destiny, is to get to heaven. Everything we do in this life should be directed towards that end. Nothing else really matters to us but that we get to heaven. That is our goal. That is our purpose. And pray God we all attain it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.